Good morning. I think we can start. I'm Dr. Shah. I'm Associate Dean of Global Health here at Des Moines University. And luckily with me are two professors. David Osterberg is from University of Iowa, and Dave Swanson is from Iowa State University. And luckily for me, they didn't put on there any colors, so I am in the middle here. So let me say what happened. Earlier this year, 188 Iowa scientists, researchers, and educators from 39 different colleges and universities released the Iowa Statement, the 2015 statement, Time for Action. And the statement highlights some of the following things. A warmer and more wet Iowa climate is negatively impacting our water quality, increasing exposure to allergens and pollens, introducing new infectious diseases, and imposing increased stress on Iowa farmers and families. As scientists, researchers, and educators, we believe the upcoming Iowa presidential caucuses provide Iowans with a unique opportunity to bring their questions about need for better climate action into national conversations. With the release of 5th Annual Iowa Statement 2015, Time for Action, we strongly encourage Iowans to ask candidates seeking their support how they will address negative impacts that Iowa farmers and communities have on the effect of climate change. Specifically, what policies do you support to address climate change in Iowa? Iowans have been asking that question and hearing from candidates over the past few months about their views on addressing climate change. Today, we are presenting a brief summary of candidates' ideas on how they plan to address climate change. This summary is just a sample of some of their things we have learned, and we have learned a lot. As educators, we continue to work to educate Iowans and candidates about science and negative impacts caused by climate change. Today, we want again to offer our services, our resources, to any of the candidates or their staff that might wish to learn more about how Iowans are being impacted due to climate change. And finally, we want to encourage all Iowans to continue their great work in the coming weeks and months to engage presidential candidates on this big issue of climate change, so critical to our future and the future of our next generation. Thank you, and we'll take questions if you have any. Good point. So this has been, as an educator, scientists, researchers, and me personally as a physician, we would more talk about education components of what effects we are seeing rather than making it as a bipartisan or Republican issue. Hmm.
And Kay, it's very wide. It's also within the parties, there's a lot of diversity. So when you say one party is on one side and one party is on the other, if you look at the statements, you don't find that. You find a lot of, within the Republican Party, different views. And I think when you ask the question about our view, it's not a view, it is the science. And the science, and we've been able to show that the science says that climate change is a reality. That's nobody's view. It's good data, and when you look at that good data, then it's time maybe to start making some policy based on it.
David, do you have anything to add?
No.
You're just wearing your Iowa State red.
It's the shirt that was on top.
It's always the top. Any other questions? Yeah.
In addition to asking presidential candidates about this critical issue, are you your group talked about things that, you know, everyday Iowans, so to speak, can do on climate change.
Yeah, we have talked this statement, Barb, which came out 2015, Time for Action, mentions some of that and talks about getting involved into other activities also. This is our fifth statement. In the past, four statements. First one was a general statement in 2011. 2012, we dealt with the effect of drought in Iowa and on Iowans. The next one was focused on agriculture effects because of climate change. In the 2014, what we did was on the health impacts of climate change. And then we talked about, in each one, there was specific talk about, for example, for the last 2014, which I was involved as a physician, was focused on that malaria-borne or vector-borne illnesses are going to increase within US, within Iowa. Example being a condition called dengue fever or chikungunya, malaria, tick-borne conditions. And we talked about how we can educate people and Iowans, and importantly, since we all come from universities and colleges, how we can impact our healthcare providers, our students, which then they can carry the message about what they can practice and what they can do. So if they see a tick-borne illness, Lyme disease next time, they would not just treat that condition, but talk about what might have been the cause of increased Lyme disease in our state.
And I can add to that. Climate change in Iowa is having an impact on agriculture. It's discernible. It's having an impact on commerce. It's especially having an impact on communities, especially their ability to cope with disasters, both to fund and anticipate. There's a great need then for public education at the community level, at the industrial level, and at the policymaking level, especially at state policymaking, to learn new ways to incorporate this science and the findings of this science into policy opportunities or policy changes or corrective action if that's what's needed.
Good point. Since I would back.
Well, we'll go back and forth. There are a couple of things. First of all, if you look at it in the short run, warmer weather is somewhat beneficial to most crops, but that's offset with higher degrees of risk and volatility in crop production. That's the short run issue on climate change. There's also the issue of pests and pestilence, increased virulence of weeds, other types of insects and other types of pests that affect farming, making their way into Iowa that otherwise weren't here or otherwise becoming more harmful. Later on, longer view, we think more in terms of Iowa actually going through drier cycles and through drier periods without adequate rainfall, still with the weather volatility, still with the storm volatility, but going through drier periods, and then that having a negative effect on yields, obviously a negative effect on farmer incomes.
How would it impact the Prairie Pothole region?
Well, the Prairie Pothole region, you're talking about the Dakotas now?
Yeah, Dakota is all the way up to Northwest Iowa.
Yeah, okay. Well, in the longer run, that region is anticipated to see lower rainfalls. You're going to see, if in case the rainfalls go down, you're going to see a reduction in crop yields. You're going to see maybe switches in preferences for farming activity. You're also going to see over time changes in the impacts on livestock, because livestock, especially with heat, it's harmful to them, and so it may change livestock management practices as well.
So let me add indirect effect on agriculture and other things which we might not connect directly, and I'll give you both local example and global example. In Africa, many of the women are women farmers, and in many parts of the African country, in Tanzania and others, the production agriculture has gone down by the single farmers who are mainly women because malaria has increased in many parts. So that's the direct effect of climate change, increasing malaria, reducing agriculture productivity. Here, I don't know whether those kind of connections are made, but there are increased number of asthma-related ER visits and allergy-related clinic visits for all Iowans, including, of course, farmers, and that might affect our productivity in some capacity also.
Yeah, the indirect effects are some of the most interesting. For instance, everybody knows that more CO2 in the atmosphere has an enrichment effect. And a lot of people have said, well, this is one of the good things about climate change. Our crops are going to grow better. They're enriched more. So are the weeds. And in fact, the weeds probably have an advantage. So it's the indirect effects. But all of this, you see, is knowledge you get out of colleges and universities everywhere, especially colleges and universities in Iowa. And to put that together and then say, these are what we see happening, what is the policy that then might mitigate some of this? That is why we think we have something to say. And this particular year, again, Yogi said this is the fifth of these that we've put out, it was pretty obvious that there were going to be so many presidential candidates here. And we ought to say, there is a lot to this climate change. You're not against it or for it. You are, this is data. Use this data in how you would make public policy. And we'd like to find out what you're saying, and we'd like to see you say a bit more because it's a very important issue.
So, David, just to add on that indirect effect of CO2 you mentioned, there is also connection between increased CO2 in our air and increased weeds, as you mentioned, directly affecting increased ragweed, that there is a 60% increased growth in the plant size of ragweed when the CO2 increases and the temperature increases. Along with that, not just the size, but even the protein, the allergens, which causes us the ragweed allergy, become stronger when there's increased CO2 in the air also. So there are a lot of indirect effects which are even hard to comprehend and hard to bring around. And that's what we are as educators and in health and others. We are trying to educate our students, our healthcare providers of future, that how they can try to correlate that. It's very similar to smoking years ago, that unless we know the bad effects long term, physicians would not be able to change that along with other educators.